Well, it's 5:33, and I'd like to call the March 10th, 2022 meeting of the Salem Parks and Recreation Advisory Board to order. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us this evening. My name is Mickey Varney, and I'm the chair, and I would like to start with the roll call. Okay, Dylan McDowell.
Here.
Thank you. Alan Alexander.
I'm with you.
Thank you. Woody Duke?
Here.
Thank you. Rick Hartwig?
Present.
Al Holland?
I am here.
Joan Lloyd?
Here.
Thanks, Joan. Keith Norris?
I'm here.
Yay. And Dave Friedenmacher is absent. I just wanted to make a note of that. Okay. So it sounds like everybody's audio is working, so I guess we'll get moving here. So the next item on the agenda is the minutes from our February 10th, 2022 meeting. I hope you all had a chance to go through them. I know it was kind of a long meeting. So are there any corrections or additions to the minutes?
I move adoption as presented.
Second.
Okay. Seconded by Rick Hartwig. Let's see here. So it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of February 10. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. Hearing none, the minutes stand approved. Okay, the next item on our agenda this evening is public comment. We didn't have any written comment, and have we had anyone from the public join us this evening?
Mitch, I have not seen anyone. Do you?
Doesn't look like it.
Okay, I don't see anyone. Well, then I guess we can move on to our next item, which is our board items. So first of all, on our agenda is the letter of support for the Salem Community Bond. So in your board packet was a copy of the draft letter, and that is what is awaiting approval this evening. At our February 10th meeting, we decided to draft a letter of support for the bond to the City Council Infrastructure Bond Steering Committee, asking them to consider funding for the existing park master plans, which were planned, but just kind of sitting there awaiting funding to get going and to improve the park connectivity. So I wanted to say thank you very much, Dylan, for providing the first initial draft. And are there any corrections or additions to the letter that's presented?
I move that we approve it.
Okay, that was moved. Approval moved by Joan. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Dylan. Thank you very much. So is there any further discussion on it? I don't see any hands. All right, well, let's just do a roll call vote on it then and move forward. So Dylan McDowell?
Aye.
Okay. Alan Alexander?
He was muted, but I saw him say aye.
Okay. Woody Dukes?
Aye.
Okay, Dave's absent. Rick Hartwig?
Aye.
Al Holland?
Aye.
Joan Lloyd?
Aye.
And Keith Norris? Thank you. And I vote aye as well. Well, thank you. It's unanimous, all of us here. Yeah, that was, thank you so much for the support, and we will get that sent off to the steering committee. Thank you. Okay, so next on our agenda, the second item is the local government grant application for Brown Road Park the development. And I think, Patricia, are you going to be presenting that this evening?
Mickey, if I can interrupt for a moment, I think Tony might have had a question on the last letter there. I saw her raise her hand. Tony, did you have something on the?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tony. I didn't see you.
Sorry about that. No, I was trying to interject. I apologize. I just wanted to let you know I'll have the letter formatted by our staff and then have that submitted to the committee.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, I didn't see you.
No worries.
Great. Okay, so moving on. So Patricia, are you going to be presenting this?
Actually, Tony is going to be presenting it.
Okay, all right. Well, Tony, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. So we typically, when we develop a park, once it's master plan and we look to development, in the last several years, we've had to develop in phases due to the cost. And then part of that, the cost that we pay is through system development charges. And then we also seek grant funding. So we typically go to Oregon Parks and Recreation Department through the local government grant, which is a lottery funded grant. And then sometimes we go to the Land and Water Fund grant, which is administered by OPRD, but it's actually through the National Park Service. So in the case of Brown Road, we are seeking a grant from Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, the local government grant, for a phase one development, which has quite a bit, as you saw in the attachments to the staff report and in the staff report, where we outline a number of facilities that we are looking to implement. And that's based on a master plan that was done in 2018 by Rob Romanek, with the neighbors, input from the neighbors. And so what we are seeking from you, we're gonna be going to council actually on Monday, asking city council to adopt a resolution to apply for the grant and to accept those funds if we do receive the grant. And that is a requirement by the state to have a resolution. It's not a requirement by the city, but a state requirement and part of the application. So we need to submit an attachment that shows that council has agreed and signed off on that resolution. So what we're going to ask you tonight is to endorse and approve our, going forward with an application and then asking, recommending to council that they adopt a resolution for us to include in the application.
Okay, thank you very much.
And I'm happy to elaborate on the grant, but I know that you've all seen the staff report and the phase one concept that includes the amenities that we're planning to include. So if you have any questions about those, I'm happy to respond to those.
So does anyone have any questions? I really appreciate all the detailed information in the maps. It was very, very helpful. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. Dylan, you have a question?
Yeah, I was just curious, Tony, when you talk about phase one of the master plan, were there things you had to, that you couldn't do because of costs? Like, did you get most of the things done for phase one that you and that you wanted, or were there certain things you had to pick and choose in terms of amenities in the park?
We did have to pick and choose a little bit. The costs are rather high, but there is a basketball court that we do plan to do in phase two, and then some exercise equipment or an exercise area. Those were the other two main items that the neighbors wanted.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what that exercise area will entail?
The exercise area would entail some probably not very elaborate equipment. There are various types of exercise equipment for parks and public spaces, but because some require more maintenance than others, we tend to look at things like the parallel bars, chin-up bars, maybe some features where you can do some sort of maybe a weight pull. It depends on how elaborate they are, because oftentimes they break down easily and it just requires a lot more maintenance. So we go for something a little more simple, you know, without a lot of flexibility or mechanisms that can get jammed. Is that what you mean?
Yes, I'm familiar with a similar kind of exercise station circuit that's at Orchard Heights Park that had some balance beams and a couple chin-up bars and a pole climb and ramp, I think, maybe. Simple, pretty much maintenance-free. I could imagine that would be something similar to what you're going to put in there eventually.
Yes, McKay Park used to have quite a circuit, but that was implemented back in, gosh, I think 1980. So I don't even know if any of those pieces are still there. But it is. It's nice. Or you can even have a circuit where you're just running in place or, you know, just have some instructions at each station telling you what to do.
It's a very good idea and sound. Finding those simple and durable things is great.
Thank you. We're very excited about making the improvements at Brown Road, and it's something the neighbors are just really waiting on.
Well, it looks like a wonderful plan. Rick, aren't we?
Yeah. It's, you know, Elle and I went and visited the park, you know, and there's virtually nothing there but the community garden, which is great to have. It's not a really large park, but when we were there, much of it was under basically understanding water. But it's, you know, it's a really good neighborhood park. They deserve it. They could go to Royal Oaks, you know, maybe a quarter mile away, and there's another one the other direction. But, you know, they need to have, in that area, they need to have that neighborhood park, and it needs to be developed for them because there's really not much there at all. So I'm all for any grant that we can get to do anything there.
Thank you. It is important to provide an accessible route to the garden, and by adding the accessible beds, the raised beds, will also allow a pathway to the garden. And then of course, we'll have the accessible routes to the play equipment and the shelter. And then another item that people like is just to be able to walk around the park. So we'll have a pathway around the existing field as well.
There were a bunch of wood chips, to get around the standing water, but there are like only three parking spots there, and it's hard to access because there's a median right in front of it. So we were coming from the north and we had to turn around and come back to get into it. There are only three, but it's a neighborhood park. You don't need a lot of parking spots. You know, it's for the people that live in that area.
You're exactly right. The parking really will be helpful for those that are utilizing the garden. And then, of course, having an ADA accessible space.
And probably one handicap parking and two regular spots, because that's all their room. But that's all they need.
Actually, it should accommodate three regular spots and a handicap spot.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for the comments. I'm excited about the community garden there. Alan, Alexander, I see your hand up.
Yes, thank you so much. I too have had an opportunity to visit the park, and you're exactly right. There's not much there, but it has a lot of potential. And it's a park it's a part of town that needs additional park features. I also had the opportunity to hear Tony make her presentation about this park previously, and she answered all my questions then. So I move that we vote to adopt this recommendation for go ahead for the staff report to go to council.
I'll second that motion.
Who seconded?
I did.
Okay, I keep. Okay. So it's been moved by Alan Alexander and seconded by Keith to, recommend that the council adopt resolution 2022-13 authorizing the city manager to apply for and if successful, accept the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department local government grant to provide funding for the construction of the first phase of Brown Road Park. Okay. So is there any further? Oh, go ahead. Yes.
Question on this. I don't know that this is our purview, but in the course of looking at that park, driving into it from the north, one has to cross a median strip that is separating the north and south lanes along that the road that accesses the parking space. It means that if you're going to go into the park, you have to come in from the south, really. And I'm wondering if that's the only and the best way to provide that access. I realize Rick was talking about only having three or four slots there, and that's all that's going to be provided, but it just doesn't seem a very convenient or accessible entrance to the parking area. I'm wondering if there's going to be any change or if that will be addressed or if it's not a concern to deal with.
Changed, and our neighborhood parks, as classified in our comprehensive park system master plan, do not call for off-street parking. So people do rely on-street parking, but most of the neighbors that use that park do understand that they come in from the south if they do need to utilize the park, and someone may need to turn around, and that I agree, that's unfortunate. But the median was very important for pedestrian crossing because Brown Road is a very busy road. And so that's a big safety feature. And the neighbors really wanted that feature included, the median.
Okay, I just wanted clarification. Thank you.
And Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was something that was just added in 2020, right? Just a few years ago was I think that was in the report that was the enhanced pedestrian crossing added in there.
It's part of the street. Yes.
Did those, my question was, did those changes in 2020 affect any of the other park master planning elements that was approved in 2018?
No.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Are there any further questions? Seeing none, then let's move forward with a roll call vote on the motion that's on the floor. Dylan.
Aye.
Ellen Alexander. Or you can wave. Is that an aye, Alan Alexander?
That is an aye. I apologize. I got background noise, so I'm muting myself whenever I'm not talking.
Okay. Thank you very much. Woody Dukes.
Aye.
Rick Hartwig.
Aye.
Alan Holland.
Aye.
Joan Lloyd.
Aye.
And Keith Norris.
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. So the motion passes. Yay, team. For us to forward the recommendation on the resolution. Wow.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for bringing this forward. We are just flying through all kinds of things here. Okay, the next item on our agenda is board member updates. Are there any updates any board members would like to provide?
I don't know if it's relevant, and I don't know if Rick approves all this, but I think I can share that we're surveying every park in the town by just taking a familiarization visit to each park that we can. And so far we've done about 3/4 of them, and we're taking notes on them, see if there's anything that comes up. And about the only thing that has come to mind right now, other than the excellent commitment and work done by the crews that we see at work and we generally talk and ask what's going on, is a comment that we noticed that there are a lot of parks that are adjacent to the Salem Kaiser schools. Some of them are almost like integrated within their playgrounds, immediately adjacent to quite a few of the elementary schools and some of the middle schools. And it brings to mind cases where it's not always clear who's doing maintenance on exactly what. that in those cases. And I think that the only thing to say would be that it is important, if it's not already being done, and it doesn't seem like it's being done extensively, that there be communication between Salem Kaiser maintenance, facilities maintenance, and our crews that are maintaining the parks, so that there's a clear definition of what needs to be done, or how the responsibilities be shared fairly between mowing and trimming of various different things. I'm not sure how much the so-called higher-ups that they were referred to by crews are communicating to define those areas. Is there some kind of understanding that clarifies who maintains what in parks adjacent to schools?
Jennifer has her hand up. She may be able to answer this, Alan.
Thank you.
So we do have a maintenance agreement between the city and Salem Kaiser. We have basically the premise starts that what is city property we maintain, what is school property they maintain. There are some exceptions to that, but it's a very limited number. But we have an agreement in place that helps define that, and then some backed up maps to provide a visual look at whose property is what.
Some of the workers that we talked to didn't know. I mean, they were going ahead and doing probably more than they should, because, and we asked them about that, and they said, well, you know, nobody's told me where the line is, where I don't have to do anything on the other side of the line. And so maybe that needs to be clarified with the park staff.
Well, we can certainly do that. I think the thing to keep in mind, we have a lot of seasonal staff that, you know, take direction from other staff. And so maybe them in particular don't have as much clarification on that. But that's certainly something that we can share with them. But our career staff on the whole are prized. It's been an ongoing agreement for quite some time. So they're pretty familiar with that. But it's certainly something we can look at addressing.
Yeah, the only reason to bring it up probably is that we know that our staff is pretty maxed out on what they have to do. And we depend a great deal on volunteers and inmate staff and service people beyond our professional crews that are hired. So I'm trying to not overwork them, not to overextend them to do stuff that the school district could take care of and should take care of. So just so that's clarified, I think is a good idea. So I assumed, and I believe it's in case that the agreement is there, but the clarification on who's actually on the ground might need to be passed down a little bit more.
Yeah. As I mentioned, we'll be happy to review that with our staff. Thanks for bringing that up.
Super. Thank you.
Thank you. Keith, I see your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Mickey. I just wanted to provide a quick update as my role from SPRAB represent on the library strategic plan. I think the last time I updated you a couple months ago, that strategic plan process had been paused by the city. But I got an email, I think about 2 weeks ago, that indicated that process has been restarted, and the city is reinitiating that process. So I think right now they are in a phase that is working with their consultant. And so my role on their steering committee is not terribly active at the moment, but at least the process is moving forward. And I expect that as we enter into the early summer months, I will be getting more active on that in my role in representing SPRAB to that steering committee.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that update. Appreciate it. I was wondering, did anyone attend the open house on the skate park for Gear Park by any chance? I had it on my calendar, but I didn't make it to the meeting. I was just curious. I was wondering what sort of plans were out there.
Mickey, I haven't attended I didn't attend the actual open house, but I have been tracking the survey, and I just shared. I saw the latest one just came out today, or at least I got another email about it today.
Great. So
that was on one of my tabs that I had open, so I just put the link here for everyone.
Great. Thank you for putting that in the chat. I really appreciate it. All right. Well, if there are no other comments or whatever, let's move on into our information report. Okay, the first one is the Mission Street Park Conservancy Minutes. Anyone have any comments, questions on that one? I was just looking at my notes. I put a little smiley face down near the bottom where they say, we may also revise the text on the kiosk near the Phillips Field to include information on oak woodlands and their maintenance. And I thought that was a great idea. Just because I know a lot of folks probably don't know a lot about our precious oak trees. Okay, the next information report is the urban forestry update. I see Mylan here. Mylan, did you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
No. I'm here with a four-year-old, so. Unless you guys have any questions for me.
Does anybody have any questions?
I do.
Okay. Okay, Joan, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask about the heritage tree list. And is that on the city website?
There isn't really much information yet on the website. I am working with public works staff to update our website with that information, as well as some other information. But and I am going to talk to you guys in May about the Heritage Tree Program and give you as much information as I can and share two new applications for heritage trees.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Mylan, my only comment on the report was just that my smiley face, I didn't put one on there, but Mickey, if I were to put a smiley face on it, it would have been next to the Arbor Tree, Arbor Day tree planting event with the middle school with the eighth grade science class. I thought that seemed like a really, really great activity and was glad to see the city staff being a part of that event.
Yeah, thanks. And you guys are most definitely welcome to come out to that as well. I'll share some more information as we get closer on a time that's going to happen and hopefully we have some good weather, but we're excited about that too.
That'd be great. Thank you. Is that a new thing, Mylan, or is that something that's been done in years past?
I'm pretty sure they've done that in years past. I don't know with schools, particularly what schools. I've seen some pictures and read a few things that were done in the past. Jennifer may know more, but okay. just something I wanted to do. I actually have a kid at Leslie, so hopefully he's going to make it over to one of the classes. But we lost a lot of trees in that surrounding area from the ice storm. So I thought it'd be a good opportunity to get trees planted back and work with the school to do it.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome.
Just, we always do an arbor, arbor week, and always arbor month in April. But as part of our Tree City USA, always do an arbor Arbor Day event. So Mylan is doing an extra one this year at Morningside, but we're doing the first one on in early April at Brown Road. So there's two events this year.
Thank you, Patricia.
Can I just comment that to Mylan that I think that the Arbor Day tree planting event with the Leslie kids is a wonderful thing to do in so many different ways, and I'm really glad to see it happening. And would love to see even more of them happen in the future with other schools as they go on. Good restoration of the trees, good conveyance of values to the kids, good utilization of their energies to help do this. It's really a nice thing to see being done. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Great for my staff too. They get to get out and be in the community and work with kids. So got a really good staff and looking forward to seeing them do this with kids.
Yeah, along with that, as we've been looking at the parks, it's very apparent that there's been a conscientious effort to replace some of the trees that have been lost. It's clear, and to add some along, especially in perimeter areas that were lacking trees in the past. So I'm pleased to see the progress in the tree work that's been done.
That's great. Thanks. And it's going to continue to be more and more. So thanks for noticing.
Yeah, it's going to take us a while to get caught up. I understand. Woody, you had your hand up. Did you have a comment, question?
Yeah, since the first year as Tree City USA, we've had our crew has gone around and during Arbor Week and gone around to many of the schools and showed them equipment and just discussed with them about the tree program and stuff. But I'm not sure when we started actually planting trees with the school kids, which is a good thing. I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, I think it's a great activity too. Mylan, does Friends of Trees get involved in that or just your crew?
Friends of Trees is going to do the one at Brown Road with us, but the one at Leslie was just something that we did with our volunteer coordinator and myself. And then Jennifer Mongolo from Parks Planning went out and scouted some of the parks, working with Patricia and then working with some of the park staff on which parks would be best that we wouldn't influence any of the master plans and where sort of a need for trees were. So that's the one place we agreed on. And then Amanda reached out to Leslie Middle School to see their interest, and they were very excited. And their eighth grade science class are going to be the ones that work with us. I think it's three classes, I believe.
That's a lot of energy in the kids, but I enjoyed teaching middle school science very, very much and workshops and stuff. So they're going to have a lot of fun. I hope I can turn out for it as well. I think it's a great idea.
Sorry, but one more question if we've got Mylan here. I'm curious to know if the parks folks in the cleanup from the ice storm were involved at all in the chronodendrology study with Willamette University and Professor Craig and Erebus. Have you cut any cookies to deliver to them for their study? Are you aware?
Yes. Oh yeah. But they have reached out to us early. We work with them quite a bit on every park. We pretty much gave them a cookie from every tree that we cut from an Oregon white oak of size during the ice storm. I would say we probably gave them up to 30 different cookies. So yeah, we worked really closely with David and have worked with David on multiple projects outside of that as well. And we've had one of his students work for us as a seasonal staff. And we have another one, another student from Willant who's starting with us here in another week. So looking forward to that, but yeah, enjoy working with Professor Craig and would like to continue having a relationship with Willamette and in many different facets of what we do. So, yes.
So glad to hear that. I give them a few cookies myself, so I'm glad to hear that was done. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see any other hands. Let's move on to the Parks and Natural Resources Planning update. Anything you would like to add, Patricia?
No, I don't think so. The bald eagle nest is active again this year. And I don't know if I had that on my report or not, because it's there's going to be an eagle watch with volunteers set up. What we're trying to do is see if we can open up the trails, because we've had the trails closed around the bald eagle nest for a couple of years to reduce any kind of disturbance to them while they establish the nest. But we've talked to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and they want to let us open up the trails and then to monitor and see how the eagles react. They might be habituated to all the use around the area now, so it might not be an issue, which is what we're hoping. So we are asking for volunteers, and there's a flyer for it, and there's some training that's going to be done by our parks ranger, Mike Zeeker, and the Audubon Society to kind of tell people. We have an app for the smartphone or a tablet that people can use to register their information and their observations. So if anyone's interested, we could be sure to send that to you as well.
Yes, Al. That's great. Dylan, you have a question?
Yeah, I'd love to get that app.
Yeah, I would too. Please do send that out. I had a question about the Mayor's Monarch Pledge. I know that's something that we've done for a while, but I was curious. I saw what was on the website about it, which is fairly general. And I'm just curious if there's ever events we do, like giving out some of the milkweed or working with any of the nurseries to promote it or anything like that. I know part of the reason I ask is we try to do milkweed for an event one time at my work. And sometimes it can be hard to get ones that is purely local or native because they come in mixed packs. So would love to know if there's ways the city could do that or if there's things we've done already.
Yeah, we do have, well, you know, the whole pandemic kind of put a crimp in things, because normally we would be handing out seed packets. One year we did it at city council meetings. We passed around a basket that had local seeds in it. We work with heritage seedlings, so we're sure to get local seeds, and we do have those for different events. I think we often give them out at Marion Soil and Water Conservation District, the plant sales, and other events like that. But we certainly want to continue to do that, especially as things start to open up more. And then in addition, we're always trying to do at least a couple of pollinator gardens every year in mm-hmm. our parks. So there's one at Brown Road that's fairly new. There's one that was put in at Minto and parking lot one area that's relatively new. And Matt Johnson, who works in Jennifer's group, is kind of leads that effort. And then there's also some pollinator habitat being established along our road right away. So we're really trying to put different plants, not just milkweed necessarily, because monarchs aren't that common in this area. So we try to expand the range of plants to kind of more broadly address all pollinators.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great information. Thank you. Keith, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks. Patricia, I was just curious, a few months ago, we had an update on the beaver management planning and strategy. Was curious where that stood in kind of the process with the city and working with the state and various stakeholders.
Yeah, we have been diligently working on the plan and working with our stormwater folks, and with now it's kind of with risk management and our legal team to look at it. And so it's taking a little bit longer than we had anticipated, but we're trying to get it in place, hopefully before the next stream crew starts their work in the streams themselves. But we're pretty close. It just has to do some final review. And I think that there's I think that we're going to take the legal and risk folks out and actually look at some situations with beaver dams. So they can see kind of the extent of some of the flooding and some of the issues in the field, I think will really help.
Agreed. When it comes to wildlife management, a lot of getting in the field is usually very helpful to understanding the context of the situation. So that seems like
that's good. That's right. Yep.
Yeah, and it's fun too.
Yeah, we'll have to get Mark Weinstein some chest waders though.
Take a picture. Would love it. Any other questions for Patricia? I did have one slight question. It was in regards to the property that's being donated, the woods at Fairview. It says it's 14 acres and extensively wooded. Is there going to be an added cost for maintenance for that I was just curious.
Well, I mean, anytime there's a lot of trees, you know, we want Mylan, we had Mylan go out and check it out before we expressed interest in it to see kind of what condition the trees are in. There's certainly opportunity for some improvement. There's a lot of ivy out there growing on the trees. There's a lot of blackberries. There's, I would say it's a good opportunity to do some restoration work with some volunteers. And that might, you know, Mylan was talking about partnerships with the university and with schools. I mean, that might be a great opportunity to do that as well in a location like that. It's, there's native and non-native trees there because it was part of the Fairview Training Center. It's like where the residences for some of the people that worked there. So there's some kind of horticultural trees there as well as native trees, but there's some very nice oaks as well.
Okay. Is there any anything with the old asphalt roads that's an issue?
Well, you know, we're kind of thinking that it's nice as an existing trail. I mean, it's kind of being used like that already by the neighbors. Mm-hmm. So rather than tear it out and do all that, we might just use that as a trail through the area.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah, I don't have any other questions at this point. I don't see any other hands.
Well, I guess I'll just say, since this is my last meeting with all of you, since I'm going to be retiring, I just wanted to thank you for all of your volunteer work to be on the board, and what a great group of people you are, and so professional. I've just been so impressed with the board over the last several years. So just keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Patricia. And thank you for your guidance and your experience and your knowledge and your dedication to natural resources. It's been a real pleasure to work with you as well. And I just wish you really, really, really happy retirement.
Thank you. Thank you.
Keith.
No, I was just clapping hands. Congrats, Patricia, on retirement. Yes. It's been great having you as staff here at the city. So enjoy your retirement.
Second. We're going to miss you.
Maybe I'll see you in one of the parks these days.
That would be great.
And I'll send everyone, I'll have Tony send out the Bald Eagle flyer about the volunteer work. So all of you get that, okay?
Yeah, looking forward to that. Okay, next on the agenda is the Parks Operations Update. Anything you'd like to add, Jennifer?
No, I don't think so, unless anyone has any questions.
Tony, Mickey, I just had a quick question. It might be for Tony.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I'm looking at my notes. I had some scribbles, sorry.
Not a problem. Jennifer, it might be for you, but it might also be for Tony. This is really helpful, and I appreciate all the work. I know that there's just been a lot of ongoing issues with the unsheltered individuals and trying to make sure that everything is taken care of, and so much trash, but also trying to make sure that your crew is safe, and just ongoing gratitude for all the work you do with your team. And Tony, I know last time we talked about Gretchen possibly giving us an update at some point, even written, just about kind of the city manager strategy, I guess, in terms of how things are moving forward. And I've watched some of that from the council meetings, but did we ever settle on a time where she could provide an update, either written or joining us for a meeting?
I did reach Gretchen, and I offered her, actually, she could provide a written update or come in person. And she said she would very much like to come in person. And she will also be providing to me, I'm sorry, my dog is barking, providing a link for you all to be able to have access to her. I think they're weekly or biweekly updates on that situation. So she can do both. She can inform you through her updates that she has through the city. And then also she's happy to come to a meeting. So I told her probably quarterly. Excuse me. Sorry. She can come quarterly, and we can certainly arrange that and have her come as soon as it meets her schedule, and then quarterly after that.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. It would be good to see her again. I get the monthly updates through the Neighborhood Association, and they're really, really helpful. It's always good to see Gretchen.
Yes, she's always a bright presence. Yes,
yes, she is. Yeah. Alan, do you have a question?
Yes, and this is, I think, more for Jennifer. I think it was Jennifer. Last month or the month before, we talked about our concern about the siphoning off the resources of park staff, maintenance staff, taking care of homeless issues. And there was some discussion in going on in the budget process about the possibility of identifying a separate crew that would be funded and mobilized to deal just with homeless issues. Has that gone anywhere? Is that still something under consideration? Or I realize the budget's in formulation now, but I'm just curious about how that might be faring, that concept.
That idea is actually going to council next Monday on the 14th. It's a community response team, sanitation team. And it's going before council on the 14th. In looking at then starting the process of hiring staff to meet those needs.
What's the team called?
There's been several names thrown. I think they landed on the community response sanitation team or community sanitation response team, something along those lines.
The reason I'm asking it may be a bit late for us to try to do something as a board, but individually we can contact our counselors and encourage them to give full consideration to this concept.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. I listened to the discussion of it at the city council meeting, and it's something that's very much needed. Thank you. Dylan, you have a question?
I did have a second question, but if I don't want to go again, if anyone else has one. Okay. Jennifer, I was curious. I know I missed the SPIF grant meeting based on scheduling, but would you be able to send out a list of the awardees just so we have that information?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that, to provide the detail. I can let you know in general terms tonight. So we did meet last Monday. There were seven neighborhood applications that we received. We did award $51,500 in those seven applications. $60,000 is the budgeted amount for the SPIF program. But I'm happy to delineate the detail of which neighborhood associations, the specific parks and the projects that they were requesting funding for, and then how much was awarded to each of them. I'm happy to do that.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Alan Alexander, do you still have your hand up? You're muted. I just wanted to check and make sure. No. Okay. And in the chat, Patricia just shared the Park Eagle Watch flyer. And thank you, Patricia. Appreciate that. Next on our agenda is the Recreation Services update. Becky.
Good evening. I don't really have anything too new, but on my portion there on the top, the new limited duration position managing the Jerry Frank Salem Rotary Amphitheater, she will start on Monday, March 14th. So this coming Monday will be her first day. So you might see the name Kathleen Swarm floating around. And if you do, that's who will be hired. And I've already scheduled her for some meetings next week. So we're going to hit the ground running on that. And another detail as an update to my third bullet about the Fish Fest and El Rey concerts that take place in about the third weekend, I think it is, in August every year at Riverfront. They have been in the South Meadow in the past, which is the big open area adjacent to the Carousel Building, and they've set up a large stage and they've done some pretty big concerts. The Friday concerts, a Christian radio station, The Fish, and the Sunday concerts all day are El Rey, which is a Latino Hispanic station. And I think as of today, we have successfully moved them into the new Jerry Frank Salem Rotary Amphitheater. So we are working with them on capacity. They want to get 900 to 1,000 chairs in there and those types of things. So we're working with various event management companies to come up with, obviously it's a new facility, so we don't have anything to go on as far as specifics of what other people have done. We know how much acreage and area is there, but we've never actually been able to host those large events yet. So we're working with them to do that, but very excited that we're there, and they are excited too as well. So at least at that point, and I've got other events scheduled in the new amphitheater. Kathleen will be taking over kind of the management and marketing for that. And then working closely with myself and her supervisor will be Robert Chandler for now. But looking forward to getting lots of big events in that amphitheater this summer. But other than that, if there's questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, Becky, first, I'm super excited for softball to start back up. So looking forward to that.
So are we.
Two, just the limited duration position, is the expectation that will, once we kind of go through the initial limited duration period, that will be renewed or transitioned into a full-time? Is this kind of I guess, what's the outlook 18 months from now? Is this a trial run? What's the situation on that?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and one that we've addressed when we did the interviews with everybody and that type of thing. So the funding for this position is primarily through TOT, the Transient Occupancy Tax. It is a possibility, depending on what we can get in that amphitheater in the next 18 months, that if we're able to successfully get enough business to keep it going and to fund a position or partially fund a position, then potentially the position could become full-time and not just the limited duration. So over the next 18 months, we'll be working internally to figure out what kind of funding we need and where those funds might come from. But there is a possibility, hopefully, we can keep it fully busy and bring in some additional revenue in order to do that. You bet.
Yeah, thank you. Any other? Oh, Alan Holland.
I apologize if I'm going to bring up something that's old news, but I'm new to the board and I'd like to have a little history. Over the last year and a half or so, there have been a number of gatherings in Riverfront Park that have been appreciable in size and extent and caught some press for various different interactions that have happened during those events. And I believe a number of them have occurred during times that supposedly the parks have been closed and not permits being issued. And yeah, we have a motion to develop a fee waiver policy now being considered by City Council and so on. What's the status of groups being able to use the parks without permitting, and what's the impediment, if there is impediment, to act on those or to enforce those policies?
Yeah, so we have, and Jennifer may have more information on this than I'm going to provide. So Jennifer, if so, feel free to step in. But we have a park ranger. We also obviously work through, we have code enforcement staff. We have Salem Police. There are park rules in place indicating there's a criteria. I think it's 15 to 20 things long, of which if these things are occurring at your event, you need a permit. You know, some of them are over 150 people. If you're having amplified sound, if you're selling items on site, if you need access to electricity, if you need to drive into the park, if you're setting up tents and canopies, those types of things. So there have been over the course of, I mean, when we've been in that situation with COVID and those types of things, there was a time period in 2020. I don't remember if it went into 2021 summer, but there was a period of time in which we weren't issuing permits for events because we were wanting to make sure that people were able to use the parks in a passive nature, you know, going for a walk or a run or whatever. But we didn't want large groups of people congregating in our park system. And so there was a period of time in which we weren't able to. I think majority of that was in, like I said, in 2020. As we've progressed through the COVID pandemic and into 2021 and now into 2022, some of that has we've been able to start issuing permits again. And so the hope would be that, you know, if people are in the park system and they meet those, any of those guidelines, those criteria for needing a permit, that we work with them to make sure that they get a permit. The fee waivers that you mentioned, those would specifically be for groups that are, in this case, and we have a meeting on this tomorrow, but I believe the idea would be that they would have to submit a permit before they'd even be considered for the fee waiver, because they're also, as part of the of applying for a fee waiver, they have to know what they're applying for, how much of a waiver. And the only way to do that is to submit paperwork talking about your event as if to reserve an exclusive area in a park. So I will that put a stop to forever groups showing up in a park and potentially gathering without a permit? And if they may be meeting one of those criteria, I wish I could say, you know, we'll be perfect and that will never happen. But at times, there are times where people do gather and they either don't know they need a permit, or, you know, maybe they do know they need a permit, but they are just meeting briefly and moving on. I mean, there's a various uses of our parks that we have come across over the course of years. But with staff out in the park system, with our park ranger, with code enforcement staff, who've been very helpful over the course of the last couple years dealing with this, I think that we're able to hopefully stay ahead of a lot of that
Well, thank you for the question, Alan, and for the for the review, Becky, to remind us of the process, because I know it's gotten pretty complicated, but it needs to be spelled out that way. And I certainly understand, definitely. Dylan, you had, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, I just wanted to add for Al to know that we as the council asked us to look into this last year, and we had a subcommittee through SPRAB, park usage and planning, and I was trying to find the final memo. This is a close to final one that I could, that's posted online. The final one is somewhere, but this will give you kind of a sense of some of the recommendations. So it was that we worked on. It was Alan, Woody, Keith, and myself that worked on this. And so we put some recommendations. Part of it was clarifying permits for the city. Sometimes we went through all the permits of the city. We went through similar cities, similar size cities, brought together recommendations for how this process could be improved. That was one of the concerns that was brought forward in the original memo, or the, sorry, the original motion by Councillor Nordyke. And so you can see some of the suggestions we had. And I think a lot of these, last I heard, are still being integrated, hopefully, into some of the city, the Salem Revised Code, some of the code compliance updates, et cetera. And the hope is to have some of this things in here are such as limitations on multiple reservations, but other times just clarifying some of the permits. Like you said, there's not always, it's not always clear who needs a permit and whatnot. So that's just, hopefully this helps give you some background as well.
Thank you. I'll look at that.
Thank you, Dylan. Tony.
Wanted to mention to Alan and Joan that information that Dylan was just mentioning should be included in the binder that you should receive in the next few days, that's being sent to you with previous agendas and minutes. And I believe that is included. And if you don't have that information, let me know and I'll send it to you.
All right, I don't see any further questions. Anything about the park damage report? We don't usually go into this as a as a specific thing, but I did have a question about it. You know, I see that there's a dollar amount for removing graffiti, et cetera, but what about other damages to the park? And what I'm referring to is, for instance, when I went past the Marion Square Park a number of times in the evenings, there are these fires, which are obviously scorching the ground and probably cause other types of damage. And I didn't know how that is tracked, because that's a cost to operations of the parks as well.
Mickey, this is Jennifer, if I can jump in. So that is tracked. It's not tracked through the same process because it's a different funding stream as the vandalism. We do track it though, relative kind of to our homeless funding, the money that we have dealing with homeless issues. And so it is tracked, but through a different method.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I was just curious. Okay. Next item on the agenda. I don't see any hands. New business. Anybody have any new business they'd like to bring up?
Mickey, if I could just two things. One is a comment that I probably should have made earlier, but as part of my day job with the with my organization, the Oregon chapter of the Wildlife Society, I participated in their conference a couple weeks ago. And just a note that I was able to listen to some scientific presentations there about some of the research happening in our Salem City Park. So this was a conference over in Newport, and so was able to listen to some research on some of the some presentations on the research regarding some of the turtles in Minto Brown and a few other parks. So it was just a note that it was good to see and good to see that information in our parks kind of contributing to that wildlife scientific knowledge across the state. So just a good news note there. The business item to bring up, I was curious what, if any, is plans for bringing our board meeting back to in person, given the lifting of several mandates and COVID-related restrictions by the governor's office over the next several weeks, and if there's been any discussion about that among the city or with the other city boards and meetings.
We have not heard anything directly from human resources for the city yet. So we're expecting something any day now about the new protocol. So I think it probably definitely by the next meeting, we'll have some more information to share.
I appreciate you bringing that up, Keith, because I'd written that down in my notes too when I was bringing up our next meeting on April 14th at 5:30. I was thinking, are we maybe going to be in person? That would be great.
I would think state-wise, we might be allowed to be, whether or not the city is sure. able to move as quickly, perhaps is a different question, but
yep.
looking forward to that moment, whenever it happens.
Well, I'm wondering if we may need to meet in a larger room or something. I don't know. We'll see. We'll maybe work it out, but it would be really nice to see everyone and be safe at the same time.
I think Jennifer has her hand up.
Oh, okay. Jennifer, go ahead.
I was just going to say the last directive that we received is we're really waiting until we receive our direction from whatever rules that OSHA puts in place. And so whenever we receive direction from them relative, then that's what will dictate what will transpire with the city and the time frame that will transpire. That's the last that we received anyway.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. Well, is there any additional business we need to address before we adjourn the meeting? I'm not seeing any hands, so I will just say our next meeting, as I stated, is April 14th at 5:30 p.m. And as for this evening, this meeting stands adjourned, and it is 6:40 p.m., and so good to see everybody. Have a good evening.